Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis and chapter 19. Genesis 19, we're reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 38. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 38. And beginning in verse 1, Genesis 19, verse 1, these are the words of our God. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. So now this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come in to us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab, and he is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. And those are God's words. So here we have the history, a ruin of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's rescue. And this follows chapter 18, where the Lord came to view Sodom at the very end of the chapter after promising Abraham that even for the few righteous, the 10 righteous, he would preserve the city. And of course, Sodom and Gomorrah, we had already known previously when Lot had chosen that land to dwell in, when he had that conflict with Abraham, that he chose this, the Sodom and Gomorrah, and that area which was known for their wickedness and perversities. Verses 1 through 3 show that one was found righteous, Lot. And yet there doesn't appear to be any others. Through verse 11, the rest of the Sodomites, we see, were very wicked. And then through verse 23, we first see the Lord, call to his sons-in-law to come out. Because of the Lord, he's going to destroy the city, but they did not listen. They thought he was joking. Remember the preaching of the word when it comes forth, and sometimes it comes as a warning to you. Do not think it's a joke. Don't think it's not going to happen. Listen to God's word and the warning and the call. And here we also see this special care and security in Lot and his family. They were called to come out of the city, and yet they hesitated. And so these two angels who appear in the form of a man, they grab them by the hand and drug them out. That's how the Lord cares for us so much. He sometimes drags us out of sin and out of the hold of wickedness upon us. And he warns them not to look back when they escape the city, not to look back because that they would not be sorry for the wicked place, the place that is full of vanity. And through verse 26, the Lord rained down brimstone and fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. It became a desolation. And what do we see? But Lot's wife looked back at it, at the city, all that perished. That's what our sin does as Christians. We seek to flee from it, and yet temptation comes in, and we look back to it. Remember Lot's wife. Beloved, flee from sin and vanity and earthly pleasures and turn to the Lord. Remember verse 29. We remember the Lord's promise to Abraham. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. There was none wicked remaining, or none righteous remaining, and so then he destroyed that city. And then to the end of the chapter, we see the sin of Lot in committing incest with his daughters due to his being enticed to the sin of drunkenness. It's his sin. It's also his daughter's sin and perversity as well. And so we see Lot's children, their children's descendants were those who were later destroyed by the Lord, the Moabites and the Ammonites. That's what comes because of sin, destruction. And so we ought to learn that lesson. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot himself, his daughters, what they did. And turn to Christ, lest we be destroyed like them. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful how instructive it is to not only our minds, but our faith, our life. We ask that you would be glorified in our hearing this morning, that we would receive your word, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, help us to receive your word, that we cannot do it ourselves, we acknowledge, and that you would shine that light and continue shining that light into the darkness that remains in us, that sin that remains, that we put to death and mortify the deeds of the flesh and the lusts of the flesh and all sin. And that you would sanctify us, in which we look forward to, and according to your promises, that you will glorify us together with your Son. Father, we're thankful this morning for the warnings that you give throughout the Scriptures, not only here, but throughout the Scriptures. We pray that we would heed those warnings. We would not think they're a joke, that we would not think that they are something that is so distant in the future that it has no effect upon us. But Father, we pray that now we would heed your warning and turn in all things to your Son Jesus Christ. Turn to you in all things. Turn to your word. Turn to hear you speak, in which we acknowledge that happens when we gather together on the Lord's Day, morning and evening. And so, Father, help us to acknowledge you and to always turn and worship you on this, the Lord's Day, the day of rest that we have in you. No matter the what's happening in our lives, help us, Father, to always turn to you. For we know that it is here when we gather together that you especially love the gates of Zion. We know here it is where we are especially blessed. In all of our days on this earth, it is in the worship, the public worship of God, that we are especially blessed. More than all the dwelling places of Jacob and our private times of worship, this is the time where we grow the most, that you speak to us clearly and do your great work in a more blessed way, and that you promise through the means of grace, the word, the sacraments, and prayer, that you will grow your people in faith and strength spiritually, and that even has an effect on our bodies, for we know that our souls are not separate from our bodies, for we are body and soul, each one. And so, Father, strengthen us even in our weakness. And Father, we ask that you would watch over the church. The church is suffering in many ways today. We ask for your help and your uplifting and encouragement to your people, even those who have gone afar off, that you would call them back to yourself. That you would have elders and pastors call out to them and bring them back. And even the members of the church, all of us, to reach out to those who we haven't seen, and that we would call them to worship you, the living and true God, with us and fellowship with your people. Father, we're thankful that you have gathered us. We ask that you would strengthen us, and you would keep those who are struggling in their bodies with sickness, even some amongst us here this morning, and though thankfully we don't have to fear or have any fear of that, and we ask that you would uphold all of us and strengthen those who are weak. I ask that you be with a young man, a child of my friend, whose leg was crushed by a forklift yesterday. Pray that you would heal him. I pray that you would be with, especially with Philip, the little son of Kendall's nephew, and ask that you would strengthen him. And you, even at this time, you would give him saving faith if he doesn't have it already. And you would have him and his family and all the extended family trust in you and your promises. And we are thankful for the reports that we hear that that is happening. We're thankful for this. Even in difficult times, help us to look to You. Father, we're thankful for the church. We're thankful even in these times amongst those that we are close to in our denomination, that we are still seeking to plant churches, and that the church would extend the kingdom, that Your kingdom would extend to the uttermost parts of the earth, and that You are planting churches even now in Oklahoma City and San Antonio, even in Houston, worship service soon in a couple weeks starting there. We ask that You would bless these works, provide ministers, church planters for them, and ask that You would uphold those other congregations who are without a pastor at this time, and You would bring one, bring them pastors at soon, even elders, a plurality of elders, Father, according to Your word. Uphold Your people. This is, we pray that You would uphold us. Father, we ask that also that You would grant to us, as we continue worshiping You this morning, that You would grant to us Your word. And then we pray, as we've been hearing about the civil magistrate, we pray for our government. We pray for our nation. We ask that You would reform our nation, that You would cause them to our nation to turn to You and repent and believe the gospel in a covenant with Christ, Your Son who reigns on the throne. We pray for our governing authorities over us now and those who will be elected soon, that You would save them, You would turn them to Yourself, and that they would acknowledge that the supreme law of the land is Your word, that the supreme ruler is Christ, and the supreme judge is You. And Father, we pray also for our president, who we know is sick, and some other leaders in our government who are sick with the virus. Pray that You would heal them and that grant to them good health, but more importantly, life in Your Son, Jesus Christ. For we know that is the hope of us and for anyone. It alone is found, hope is alone found in Christ Jesus, Your Son. And so, Father, we pray that You would give them all that hope in Him by sending Your Spirit, giving them Your Word, and causing them to love You. Give them the gift of faith, if that be Your will. And pray for all the elect, that You would bring them in. Pray for our children, that You would bring them in to the fold, as You have already brought them into the visible church. And pray that You would give them faith in Your Son, and that You would not allow one more day that they would be apart from Christ Your Son, if that be Your will. Even the children in the womb, pray the same. And Father, in all these things, we ask for Your mercy. We ask for Your grace, for we are completely undeserving of anything good or blessed or happy. And so, Father, may Your will be done and be gracious. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.